there. Coming up next on Ham Nation, we're going to talk remote antenna switches. We're going to talk Hamfest, a couple of upcoming Hamfests that you can meet some of us at. And Randy is back with some project pictures that you have sent in. And it's some good stuff, so you don't want to miss it. That is coming up next right here on Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by LDG Electronics. LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners and related products for every amateur need. Visit LDGElectronics.com to learn more. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 410 for July 10th, 2019. Remote antenna switches.
Hello, everybody. It's Ham Nation. I'm K9EID, and we're going to talk about ham radio. We got some really cool things to talk about ham radio also. So you want to keep one ear open here because we're going to teach you some things. And I love the American flag that just went by. Just remember July 4th. Remember what that was all about now. A lot of people forget. So we had a great time here and wanted to make sure everybody knows those troops, they saved a lot of things for this country. Let's go see what's going on. Gordo, how are you doing? Everything okay in California? No more earthquakes?
Yeah. Everything is not bad. July 4th, of course, was our pre-shock for the big earthquake, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Rob, WD8MTN, says don't cut off the tie ties, but rather twist them off, and they'll become more round, and they won't draw blood. So we appreciate that input. And Steve Ewald with the league, WV1X, says that if you're applying for an what used to be the official observer position, now called the volunteer monitoring program, you got to get your application in before this coming Monday, or else snooze you lose, in that Riley is closing down any further applications on Monday. And finally, the Nevada State Amateur Radio Convention up in Reno. I've been there for multiple years. That's a fun one. That's coming up week after next. Bob?
Gotcha. All right. That'll be great. That'll be super. George, how are you doing? You okay? Everything all right? You didn't have any earthquakes, did you?
No, but we've had a bunch of thunder just seconds ago. We've had a lot of rain this evening, first time in a while, but hey, we needed some here. Everything's going pretty good. It's just been really hot. I think this is the first day in several years that the temperature has reached 100 here. So it's a hot time in the old town tonight. Bob, we got a video from Randy a little bit later in the show. So we'll be back with that.
All right, we'll be back. I want to hear more about what's going on with Randy. He's all over the place, and he's going to be all over in the next week or so. So we want to make sure that we keep track on that young man and make sure he's got enough tape for his video camera. Okay, Don, how you doing? What's happening down there? We're going to come and see you next week.
I know. It's absolute pandemonium here, Bob. It's a good thing that you're coming next week and not this week, because we had a freak thunderstorm pop up over Lake Pontchartrain this morning about 7:30 that dropped 8 to 10 inches of rain in 3 hours.
Whoa.
Over New Orleans. And as you know, New Orleans is a bowl, and the drainage system can handle 1 inch of rain the first hour and a half inch of rain every hour after that and be okay. But when you drop 8 to 10 inches of rain in 3 hours, the city fills up. And that's exactly what it did this morning. I drove all the way to work, got blocked up on the interstate, realized there was nowhere to turn around because the interstate is elevated, and all of the ground level streets were flooded with a foot and a half of water in them. And then I'm watching a big water spout come over the lake off to my right, and it actually destroyed a doctor's house on the lakefront. I finally go all the way past my work, cross the Mississippi River, get down on the ground level to where I could turn around and not flood my car out, and then drove back home. So I was on the road for 5 hours this morning driving to New Orleans and never got to work. I had to work remotely from my laptop when I got back home. But it's just crazy. And on top of that, we're expecting a hurricane this weekend to skirt by us on the south. It's coming from Charlie Wooten. So I blame Wooten because it's coming from his area.
Oh, is it?
But it's crazy. It's absolute pandemonium here, Bob. But I got some good news about WTWW, our friends over at 5085. And 15.810, you can actually do a request now on WTWW, and I think it'll play like instantly. There's a new request tab on the WTWW.us website, so check that out, and you'll see it right there, right at home. Click request, you click on that, and there you go. Look at that. You got four requests remaining this hour, 12 for today, type a part of a song, and it'll play, and you can actually search for songs there. Look at that. Isn't that just slicker than a handful of I don't know what on a glass doorknob? That's just amazing. So go check that out at WTWW.us. They're the only shortwave station, I think, on the planet doing that. So go check that out. We got a big show tonight, Bob, so let's get on with it. Enough of my babbling.
Okay. Just make sure those hurricanes are gone by the time I get there. I'm scared of snakes, and I'm scared of hurricanes.
Alligators. We won't mention the alligators, and we won't mention the alligators.
We're coming down to the Hamfest in Slidell, so that's going to be fun. Let's go see what Gordo's got. He's got some things that we need to hear about. Gordo, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Bob. And here it is. We had so many of our valued listeners and readers and watchers indicate, where does this loop come from? Well, first of all, this is the horizontal 2-meter 440 loop that we use on the communications van, and it has no gain. It's 0 dBd. It's the same as a plain old dipole, but it's 2 meters and 440 with one mount. It's put together relatively well, although they could have used stainless steel hardware, but it's well potted, so it's not going to corrode badly where you need it to work. And it comes from Efactor antennas. E-Echo, the word factor, F-A-C-T-O-R, antennas, plural, .com. All one word, not horribly expensive, and he makes a lot of other loops. But again, when the signals come in on weak signal, VHF and UHF, they're usually so strong that a simple loop will do the trick nicely. Well, let's strip on to some short shots and give you a little review. Not a lot of short shots tonight, and see what's going on. Again, if you want to get some gain out of going horizontal on 2 meters single sideband or UHF 440 band, 432, 1 or 200 single sideband, or 6 meters, that's the middle loop, you've got to stack them as we did the two. Look like 2-meter loops there. And then you'll pick up about maybe 2 dB a gain, but you'll lose about a half a dB in the stacking harness. And quite frankly, just get one loop mobile up in the air and enjoy all the capabilities of single sideband. Here's a note from one of our valued members of our Ham Nation crew, and that is the magnets that come from this particular type of mount, which looks like it corroded pretty badly with rust, are so weak they won't even quite pick up or magnetize a chain or anything else. So if you've got a triple magnet that's holding your prized antenna, you may say goodbye unless you double check that the three magnets haven't lost their clinging power. And I don't know how to measure magnetic clinging power, but I know someone in the chat room does. But just be advised that one of our members of our Ham Nation team lost a very nice antenna, and it could have punched a hole in his back roof when that thing came off. And he said it was not a big antenna, and the magnets are just flimsy. So something to think about. Yes, on the 4th of July morning at 10:30 a.m. California time, we had an earthquake. But the biggie was about a day later, and that evening, on Friday evening, that's when the real kicker hit. And it was a doozy for those out of the area, in the area north of us in the desert. And those folks really got hammered. But, you know, there's a California earthquake monitoring group that watches well water and so on. And they were prepared for the big earthquake. But did you know that California earthquakes, or I imagine earthquakes anywhere else, can be detected even before they hit? Well, that's the earthquake monitoring network we have here. But British Columbia radio amateur Alex, VE7DXW, maintains an RF seismograph. And he says that the RF seismograph detected a magnitude 6.9 earthquake in Indonesia quite readily. The RF seismograph showed an increase in noise on 80 meters some 13 hours beforehand. Wow. So you mean there's something to do with radio noise on HF and earthquakes? The RF seismograph recorded the magnitude 7.5 quake in Ecuador on February 22, and here in the Southern California area, he said that he saw the noise come up about an hour before the quake hit, 2 hours after the quake was pretty well finished, and 15 meters started to recover a little bit later on. And his comment, the earthquake show up as an RF noise because the electric field lines, now scientifically confirmed, change the way the ionosphere reflects RF. So you can learn more about this going to the ARRL page and going to news, and you'll see the thing all about high frequency that becomes disrupted when earthquakes are hitting. So pretty interesting, and he has a lot of backup material to say this is not just hocus pocus, but the real thing. So you'll learn more about that by reading what's on the ARRL page and HAMS, being able to detect earthquakes before they hit. Go to ARRL.org/news/view/ and then look for the word earthquakes, and that'll be the place to look it up. Well, a lot of ham radio operators in Southern California came on the air when Ridgecrest was having their 6.4, and then the next day, the 7.2. The hams did a great job on high frequency down on 75 and 40 meters, as well as on VHF on the few repeaters, and all the repeaters stayed up. Yeah, in the towns, Ridgecrest and some of the areas around it, their cell service didn't go out, but it was jammed with everybody making phone calls to the few cell towers out there on the high desert, very close to a China Lake military installation. So after the big one, have a plan to know where you're going to help out fellow ham radio operators. Well, we had some comments a few weeks ago about FT8 during the field day contest, and it's very important to remember that on FT8, users must decode on either the even or the odd 15-second sequence. And if you get your decode correct, you're all transmitting in your local area at the same time, and then 15 seconds later, you're all receiving. But if someone is looking toward the west and you're looking toward the east, then they're going to probably jam what you're trying to hear on receive, as they're transmitting just a few hertz or 100 hertz away. So come together with fellow FT8 users and realize that FT8 is great for weak signal work. The 0 to 15 and 30 to 45 would be what we would use to monitor for European stations. And from 30 to 60, or 15 to 30 and 45 to 60, that would be on the western end of the path, transmitting on the odds. And that would be aiming toward JAs later in the day. So be sure and know when everybody's transmitting and when everybody's receiving. And everybody is saying on FT8, If it's local stations you're trying to work them on single sideband or CW or whatever, but don't necessarily tie up FT8 and the limited 2 kilohertz of band spread to try and work locals, because it just disrupts everything. It's meant for a weak signal work. So when FT8 is really propagating all over the world, know your sequence, and the sequence is much like a working meteor scatter contacts, and make sure that you're not transmitting when you hear nothing else but everybody receiving on the FT8 frequencies. And do not just incessantly call CQ or do an automated CQ that runs for like 60 or 90 seconds. It really causes problems to others trying to share the frequency. And the big deal is, as we saw during field day, when there's plenty of FT8 activity going on, certainly take advantage of this great mode. But when there's not a lot of FT8 going on, that's a time to drop down to the CW or single sideband portion of the bands and work some of the locals. So stay off working the locals on FT8 when they're just across the street, but rather work them on sideband and CW. So I think FT8 is an exciting mode, but I don't know. To me, it just doesn't have quite the excitement of being able to pull a signal out of the noise with ears and earphones and doing either a CW contact or a sideband contact. That's the real fun for ham radio. But whatever it is, you have fun and play radio. That's the big deal, is get on the air and make things happen. Don't worry about us in Southern California. The earthquake in Southern Cal in the main downtown area, including here, was more like a rolling on that Friday late afternoon. But we know that those up in the Ridgecrest area were really getting hit hard from what we heard on ham radio. So, Bob, back to you.
Okay, that was great. Well, I concur on the FT8, but I don't want to get too much involved, because I know there's a lot of people that like it. However, no, there's nothing like putting up a 6-meter Yagi and working real-time radio. That's where it's at. Of course, I've been doing it for 63 years, so you can't blame me. Oh, golly, it was fun back in those days. I want to talk a little bit about antenna switching. You know, we all have these kind of things, and we've had them forever. If my cameras will work with me here, let's see if I can get this to work. Otherwise, it'll have to be something a little different. There we go. Okay. Now, see if it's going to crank up here. I have trouble with Mr. Skype. He sometimes doesn't like to work with me. Oh, well, that's okay. I had to set up a little better. Anyway, you know about these things, and we've had them for years. The one that I really, really like is this guy. I've had this since 1956. The reason I like it, first of all, it was B&W was the manufacturer of this thing. All of the coaxes come straight out the back, so you don't have this octopus thing. This is a wonderful switch. It's a huge switch inside, much better than anything that I've seen. You know, things like this where you, I never did like those guys. But then you get to these guys. And I think I have probably 20 of those in this system. This is the famous Dow Key Relay. And they have a 110-volt version, and they have a 12-volt version. And they have extra contacts, so you can switch the antenna very nicely, but you can turn your receiver on and off. I have several of them that have stacks, so we can do all kinds of other things of switching things on and off. I should have maybe started with this one here. This was one that I had from 1956. It was one of my very first antenna relays. Open frame. Where are all you guys yelling about SWR? What's your SWR? Who cared? First of all, we didn't have SWR meters in those days. We just put a signal on the air and said, anybody hear me? And that was it. And much improved since those days. But DX Engineering, wouldn't you know, came up with a much better idea. This is a cool little gadget. And what this does, this is a coax in, and you can switch it from one to the other. This could be a transmit receive. It could be two receivers. Just a number of uses you could use with this. And it comes with a little box and a little switch. It's great for switching two things. But then you get this guy. Look at this guy. You come in to the center. And you can go up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. You can switch all kinds of things. I don't know how many of these in this system. I think there's 6 of them. I can switch the radios. I have 5 different transceivers. And then I have antennas. I have 2 of those out there for my phasing rig. But here's how you switch it. This little guy. And this gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wire off the back, goes into there, bingo. That, one of these is 500 feet from the box here. So doesn't make any difference how far away it is. It works great. I personally do not like rotary switches. So I use Les Paul guitar switches. I don't know if you can see that or not. You probably can't, but you've seen it in other things here. I have a 19-inch panel, and I have, there's actually 12, 13 switches, and they do all kinds of things, but they operate these guys, and that really, really works great. You might want to look at that. Ameritron has a number of these, as I said. You're going to get 2, you can get 5, and I, of course, gang them together, but it sure beats one of these guys. And it's just so much better. The relays are incredible. And, of course, if it's going to be a DX Engineering product, it will be high quality, and it is. So you wanna look into that that switch. Let's see, what's the number? What the number you're looking for is an RCS, and it's 8V. RCS, and there's several RCSs that I said. So you might wanna check it out. It's a wonderful way to switch antennas and switch receivers, all kinds of things. Use your ingenuity, and you can switch many, many things around as I do here in this station. So enjoy all of this remote switching. And, you know, remote radio is really coming to be a thing, as you heard Howard on with his new Rig Pi. That's going to be a big deal when they get the production up on that, where you can be anywhere and operate your radios very easily. Well, it's going to be relays like that that you can remotely switch things just by punching a button on your keypad or whatever. So check it out, because there's some really fun things there. I will see all of you down in Slidell, Louisiana. That's across the way there from New Orleans. And Don assures me that there won't be any water problems. And he already has scared all the alligators away. We're also there the day before that, Thursday, Friday, is the West Shum Symposium. It's been going on for years, where we go out and do a field day with vintage central electronics gear. Well, it's in conjunction now with the Slidell Hamfest. So we're very excited to be there. I'll be doing a workshop on Saturday. I have to warn all of you, I think George is coming, and I think Don's coming. So the 3 of us are going to be loose. We do need adult supervision. I'm trying to get Gordo to get on a plane, and I don't think he's going to do it. So I don't know. What do you think, Don? You think we're going to be okay, or what's going to happen?
Anything could happen. And I think that, we'll be okay as far as everyone else is concerned. We'll just be in our own little world. It's going to be a great time. And I actually, that Hamfest is July 20th, which happens to be the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong setting foot on the moon. So we'll be celebrating that as well. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Looking forward to seeing you down here. And then, of course, in a month from now is the Huntsville Hamfest in Huntsville, Alabama, where we do the Young Ham of the Year Award. And I think we'll pretty much all be together in Huntsville as well. So you're coming all to Huntsville, I think. I know George is. Yeah, so good. Well, this will be a dry run for the Mayhem at Huntsville. So just
gotta
get our groove on.
Just remember, Tommy's going to be there, so.
Yeah, now all we need is Jim with his blowtorch. That's really all we need. That and an LDG tuner. And if you got all those antennas where you need all that switching gear, you're probably going to need a tuner, because they're probably not all, you know, tuned antennas. You may have some off-center fed stuff. You may have, you may just be experimenting and you need to get something on the air. Well, that's where LDG Electronics comes in. LDG provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners for every amateur need, from QRP to QRO. Fixed stations, portable, remote, the LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna. And they use the lightning-fast proprietary tuning algorithm. It's pretty amazing. Check out the LDG AT1000 Pro 2. That is the flagship automatic antenna tuner. It's made for high-power hams. It'll handle a 1,000-watt sideband or 500 watts FM or digital. Tunes from 1.8 to 54 megahertz. That's 160 to 6 continuously. You can match Yagis, dipoles, inverted Vs, slopers, a wet noodle, virtually any coax-fed antenna from 6 to 1,000 ohms impedance. Tuning time, under 10 seconds. Memory tuning, under 2/10 of a second. With a large, easy-to-read bar graph, watt meter, two selectable ranges, dual antenna switch, 2,000 memories for each position. It is feature-loaded. And LDG is a great company. They're a family-owned and operated company, 100% dedicated to bringing innovative quality products to the amateur market. They've been doing it for years, and they're great people over there. Their focus is on anticipating and meeting your needs and providing you with world-class support that is literally just a phone call or an email away. All the LDG tuners carry full 2-year warranty. It's fully transferable, so if you ever sell, or if you're feeling ultra-generous and you want to give away your LDG tuner, the remainder of the warranty travels with it. Free return shipping on all warranty repairs, all LDG products, including balance and cables, available for purchase through select retailers. So be sure and check out which automatic antenna tuner is right for you, and then go to ldgelectronics.com to learn more. LDG Electronics. ldgelectronics.com. We thank LDG Electronics for their support of Ham Nation. Let's go ahead and check in on the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2175, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. An unprecedented two-way contact has been made from an amateur radio operator here on Earth via a transponder orbiting the moon.
Reinhard Kuhn, DK5LA, logged the QSO with BG2BHC via DSLWP-B, which was launched by China as a secondary payload on the Lunar Relay satellite on May 20th, 2018. The Harbin Institute had announced earlier that QSL cards had been designed for different phases of the DSLWP mission's flight in hopes hams would get involved in receiving telemetry or making contacts. Writing in his blog, Spanish engineer and researcher Daniel Estevez, EA4GPZ M0HXM, noted that difficulties in using the GMSK to JT4G repeater, particularly in respect to signal power, needed to be overcome on the uplink. Daniel noted that Reinhardt had hoped to achieve the contact some months earlier, but it was not possible. With barely a month to go before DSLWP-B crash lands on the surface of the moon, he extended his congratulations to Reinhardt for the confirmed contact, and so do we here at Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
An encouraging word has come for a de-expedition off the Canadian shore.
The green light for the Sable Island de-expedition just got a little greener. The team's leader, Murray Adams, WA4DAN, will be making the trip in October to prepare for the 2020 activation on a remote crescent-shaped island in the North Atlantic, which is one of Canada's furthest offshore islands and a national park reserve. Murray will be making the trip in October to review logistics with Parks Canada personnel. Of particular concern are the wild horses inhabiting the island, as well as seals, birds, and vegetation that must not be disturbed while the ham radio team is active. The team will be required to flag all its guy wires and antennas, and to use extra care routing coax to the antennas. Accessible only by boat or airplane, Sable Island is known for its fragile ecosystem. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
IARU Region 2 has launched an array of activities for ham radio's youngest contesters, scholars, and scouts.
You've heard of Youngsters on the Air in IARU Region 1? Well, Youth on the Air has arrived in IARU Region 2. If you're looking for information for young people in amateur radio, be sure to stop by YOTA Region 2.org. The new website has links to all youth activities, including the YARC Youth Contesting Program, Radio Scouting, Youth DX Adventure, Scholarships, Newsline's own Young Ham of the Year Award, and more. The group also has accounts on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to promote youth activity and announce upcoming events from a variety of hosts. Look for YOTA Region 2 on these social media outlets. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Speaking of youngsters and ham radio, Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award presentation is just about a month away. The 2019 recipient announcement should be coming any time now. We hope you'll join us in Alabama on August 16th at the Huntsville Ham Fest for the presentation. For everything you need to know about the Huntsville Ham Fest, please take your web browser to hamfest.org. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Ed Durant, DD5LP, Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the News Desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, good stuff from the Newsline crew there. And Dr. T was swamped today, being awesome. She didn't have time to do a video for us, but she did give me some information about the new Cycle 25 region on the Earth-facing disk. And if we can pull that slide up now, I'll tell you about it. She says that we have a new Cycle 25 region on the Earth-facing disk right now, originally numbered number 2744, but it's decayed enough to lose its designation. That's why you see it in parentheses there on the screen. She says they're not expecting any big flares or much in the way of boosted solar flux from this region, so radio propagation will stay poor on Earth's day side this week. The only positive thing is that the on-off solar storming this week gives us a chance for auroral propagation on Earth's night side, possibly some fun in the gray line as well. She's heard of some reports of decent sporadic E as well this week, and she says that she'll have a new forecast up tomorrow that will go over in detail the new Cycle 25 region. So if you're interested in the new cycle, check out her channel tomorrow. And of course, you need to follow her on Twitter at Tamitha Scove and spaceweatherwoman.com. That's the Twitter feed right there at Tamitha Scove. And there's spaceweatherwoman.com. So make sure you follow her. She's a great follow. Always has up to date, up to the second almost information. So need to check out Dr. T. And we, of course, thank her for everything that she does for us here at Amateur Radio Newsline. Getting psyched up for the two ham fests coming up, Slidell and Huntsville, where we're all going to be together. So, George, we need to plan some mayhem with you and Tommy and me and Bob.
We do, and if you will catch us an alligator and have it ready when we get there, we will make sure Bob runs over it with a wheelbarrow.
Okay, we can do that. I can do that. Yeah. Yeah. There are probably still some left that were chewing those marshmallows from when Gordon fed them all those years ago. That was 19 years ago. You realize that, Gordon? My son was a baby. He was less than a year old. That was 19 years ago that we fed those alligators those marshmallows.
I remember that. That was great. Fun. I threw them, and I didn't want to get any closer.
No, neither did I. All right, George, enough of that mayhem. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, a lot of us just wouldn't think that alligators and marshmallows were a thing. But, you know, I guess things are different down in that part of the country. Well, we've got a video tonight from Randy. Show us your projects. We're going to be looking at in just a moment here, so don't go away. But first, let's get a message from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Make the most out of contest season with one of these ICOMs today. IC7610, the SDR every ham wants. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Or get the IC7300. Changing the way entry-level HF is designed, this high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Find out more by visiting icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM invites you to enter, after each episode of Ham Nation, the weekly swag prize drawing. And when you do that, you're automatically going to be entered in the grand prize drawing each month for a new radio. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. For July, that prize is going to be the ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. It's a VHF, UHF, dual-band mobile radio, one band at a time, with built-in GPS, terminal mode and access point mode, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an Android and iOS app available, and an optional Bluetooth board available as well. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this in each episode and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And this week, we've got another video here from Randy. You know, each week we tell you that Randy wants to know what you've been building. And you should send your photos, no videos, please, and a description of what it is you're building to hamnationprojects@twit.tv. And Randy will get you in the next upcoming Show Us Your Projects video. And we've got a good one for tonight. There's some special projects here people have been building. And I have not watched this yet myself, so I know a couple of these I'm looking forward to seeing myself. So let's see what people are building.
It's time again for Ham Nation's Show Us Your Project. We have four projects to look at, so let's get going. Titus AB3WX is building himself a Go Box around an 8-rack unit portable case, currently housing a ICOM 7100 and a weather radio. And it looks like he's got a power supply in the base. It looks like a drawer. And on the rear, a couple SO239s to hook up the antenna. And it looks like some type of rack panel on the top with a voltmeter. And he's got room for future expansion to add another radio or two. And he plans on building a battery box to go along with this to power the rack. Nice work. Bill, G4GHB, built this 1.6-watt 80-meter QRP transmitter about 4 years ago, but he's got a lot of QRM on 80 meters, so he's decided to modify it to a dual-band transmitter for 40 and 60 meters, and he's got it crystalled up for 5.62 and 7.030, the QRP frequencies. He said he's had to rewind the coil, change the tuning capacitor a little bit, add a band switch between 40 and 60 meters. The valve is a 61BT that came out of an old post-war oscilloscope that somebody gave him, and it was also used in TV sets. So he's on now, 40 and 60 meters CW QRP. Lynn, KD9BVG, has built himself what he calls a satellite communication center. His challenges were living in a HOA subdivision and housing all the equipment in a very small ham shack in a corner of their sunroom. The satellite antenna system is built around an M-squared LEO pack mounted on a Glenn Martin tower. He's painted a tower and antennas camouflage green so they don't stand out. He says he has understanding neighbors. The tower is securely fastened to the earth using screw-in anchors. He's conducted a series of tests trying to pull the tower over with a scale and doing some calculations with wind loading, and he feels that this will be able to survive, he hopes, a 75-mile-an-hour wind. He has a trench where he's buried all the cables going to the house, and his 3-year-old granddaughter is supervising the backfill. He has 2 SSB preamps mounted on the antennas to give him additional gain. The azimuth and elevation rotors are the Yaesu G5500, and he says the antennas have a good view of the sky in most directions, although he is shooting towards some trees in one direction. He's able to work satellite passes down to 1 to 2 degrees. So he says it's amazing. Sometimes you just have to try it and see what works. And he uses a KF7 entrance panel with lightning arresters. He's got 3 of them in there for the VHF, UHF beams, as well as an N-fed wire strung up between a couple trees. He also has lightning arresters on the control cables for the Yaesu rotors, and this required a lot of tedious Molex connection and crimping installations. So he said it was a little difficult to master. He learned a lot from mistakes and was able to master crimping Molex connectors. So the second part of this project is his operating position in his sunroom. He says he does have a basement area, which has a lot more space, but he wanted the operating position up on the main floor of the house. So his wife allocated him 46 inches of space in the sunroom. So this required minimization thinking. So if you can't go wide, you go tall. So it's all built around a 7-foot-tall Ethan Allen computer desk. In the bottom of the desk, he's got a power supply and a Mountain West rig runner. His new VHF UHF rig is the ICOM 9700. He says it's a great radio. He uses a Heil Pro 7 headset with a foot switch. He uses SAT PC32 for his satellite tracking program. And he has an interface to the Yaesu rotor using a control box built by EA4TX from Spain, and so that completely automates the antenna pointing. To go along with the IC9700, he has the HF twin, the ICOM 7300, and that gives him a lot of communication power at his fingertips. So he says this all comes down to making new friendships on the radio and meeting up with people that you talk to at your local ham fest. So, outstanding project, Lynn. And our last project is from Greg, KO6TH, with an update on his Tesla Roadster radio installation. He says he wanted to do more than just talk. He wanted to add some digital communications to the system. So he found a spot to mount a Raspberry Pi underneath the center console, and he's using this for APRS. He's running Direwolf software along with KA2DDO's YAAC software to provide mapping. He uses a small USB sound card as well as a USB GPS receiver to supply the Pi with its time and location. So it's pretty neat, able to see the map up on the display of the radio. He says the only problem now is whether to call this my car Pi or Pi a la Roadster. Thanks for the update, Greg. Well, that wraps up another Ham Nation Show Us Your Projects. We all would like to see what you've been working on, so please send them to me, Randy, K7AGE. Send them to hamprojects@twit.tv, and we'll get you on Ham Nation. 73, and thanks for the projects.
Now, that was some good projects this time around. I liked every one of those. hamprojects@twit.tv. As a matter of fact, I've got a project right here I've been working on, Randy. I'm not completely ready to release it on the world, but I will show a preview of it. It's that right there. This little device will reboot the internet. And Well, it's working. Something I came up with over the 4th of July and the weekend following. I like to do programming projects, it seems like, on the holidays sometime. And this is my latest one. We'll talk more about that in the future, though. Right now, a couple other things I do want to mention before we go to Amanda in the chat room. One is Ray Novak was at Friedrichshafen this year, and he was working the ICOM booth there, had a big time, met a lot of friendly people, did a lot of radio demos, and they asked him if he would do a video for them on the various models of the newer ICOM rigs there. So Ray did a video that's at Rearview Mirror on the channel on YouTube, and it's at the link right here at the bottom of your screen. He talked about all the rigs and did a quick, brief summary on them and hit all the high points. You know, Ray always does a great job on these things, and a good place to go right there. He didn't go around and check out the brewskis or anything like that while in Germany on camera that we know of. But anyway, a great video there from the ICOM booth at Friedrichshafen this year. And one other thing I want to mention is coming up this Saturday night. We usually do it on a Friday night, but this month we're doing it on a Saturday night. We've got the next AmateurLogic.tv. That'll be at live.amateurlogic.tv. Join us at 8 Central Daylight Time or 0100 UTC and find out how much DX Tommy worked with his fishing reel right there. Live.amateurlogic.tv. Join us. And now let's go to Amanda in the chat room and find out what people are talking about tonight.
Well, good evening, George. People are talking about a lot of stuff, actually, a lot of special events and questions. I got a good question for Gordo. This one's this is an all-around question, and I think all of us could answer it differently. But Gordo, Brad KG5SDE wants to know, we always show off ham radio during field day, and we try to interest the public. Is there any other way we can keep a presence out there to keep people interested in ham radio or try to spark their interest?
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, every time our emergency group here in the Southland is asked to do a parade or provide ham radio for assisting with parking at a concert in the park, a free event, we encourage everybody to take part in all of these operations. During the first earthquake last Thursday on 4th of July, the first earthquake was felt in Huntington Beach, where they had that biggest parade, largest parade this side of the Mississippi. And while we heard a little bit about it, the ham radio operators were asked by the public, can you get in touch with? So it's really good that ham radio operators keep volunteering for these public support events. And even though you've done a million bicycle races and 100-foot races, still get involved, and that spreads to the public all that ham radio operators can do in a non-emergency. And then, of course, when we had the earthquakes out here, Amanda, ham radio was on the forefront, because for the first hour up there in Ridgecrest, it was the ham radio operators that were making contacts when the cell system was simply overloaded. Back to you.
Absolutely. So I have a few comments to make. The one thing I always tell everybody when we're running an event, any kind of public service event, whether it be a bike ride or a race or anything, if you have a radio in your pocket, on your hip or on your chest, wherever you clip it, people are going to come up to you and ask for answers because they say, oh, you have a radio, you know everything that's going on. So your biggest thing is that you actually need to stop and have that information. And this is kind of just a PSA there. When you're doing an event, make sure you go to that event's website and have their whole schedule and kind of know what the whole event is. Even if it doesn't concern you and your aid station, kind of have those in your mind so that you can answer some of those questions, because everyone expects you to have the answers or be able to find them quickly. And speaking of things going down here in Canyon City, we actually helped our police department today. They had a scheduled DTR outage. It was supposed to be for about a half an hour, and it ended up being for about six. So we went ahead and deployed our QRV van and opened up our STAC repeater, which everyone has in their DTR radios typically, and we helped them out. They used that for traffic, and it helped them out tremendously, and we're going to do it again tomorrow when they have another scheduled outage. So it wasn't a lot of ham radio stuff, but it's one way you bring us to the table with them so they know that you exist and that you can help out in some way. So that was really nice that our dispatch operators could use it. There is some hiccup still, but that's what happens when you're using an alternative source for comms. All right, let me see. What else do I have here? Oh, boy, I should have asked Eric how to pronounce this ham fest. AC9BX, Eric wants us to know that Kankakee Area Radio Summit Hamfest is Sunday, July 21st. I'm really sorry, Eric. I didn't look at the spelling of that. I should have asked you how to pronounce it. Where's Wikipedia probably, when you need it?
Is that in Illinois? Is that in Illinois?
That was good.
Yes.
Kankakee, Illinois. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm 99% sure. Kankakee. Yeah.
Y'all up north, I tell you, you have some weird, I know. All right. Let's see. So I have a new announcement about a special event coming up. Everybody relies on WWV, do you not? Do you need your alarm clock set correctly? Your computers, everything? This year is the 100th anniversary. And up there in Fort Collins, they're going to be celebrating that with a special event station. So listen out for WWV. Sorry, it's a long call sign, but a lot of us are going to be operating up there, and it's going to be a fun time. So we hope to work lots and lots of contacts. Also, follow them on Facebook. They're putting out lots of cool information about things you probably never knew that WWV or any of those others, and they're incorporating a lot of the NIST stuff. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of historical pictures. So follow them on Facebook. You'll really appreciate it. It's not one of those pages you'll regret following. Let's put it that way. So my only other thing I had for tonight was a big announcement about the DMR after show net. They are changing talk groups. Now, they sent out an email to most of their regular check-ins, but in case you're going to be a new check-in or you're looking forward to it in the future, they're changing their talk group to 31012. That's on the Quad Array Network. And I think there's several different ways you can join in now. So we could probably expect some more check-ins on that. So thanks to those guys. They said TAC 311 was great for its purpose, but that wasn't its real purpose. It's usually a calling frequency, sort of, not to have long conversations and such like that. So they're just moving along and changing it up to what's expected. All right. I think that's all I have. Let's go over the other nets. We have 40 meters on 7192. If you don't have thunderstorms in your area, which, Don, I really hope you're not going to get 20 inches of rain like they say. My friend, I hope you stay safe out there.
Thank you.
And let's see. Stay dry. I saw on Facebook you're going to steal Don's Hummer. If it's raining
tomorrow, I'm driving the H3 to work. That's just all there is.
I mean,
it wouldn't have done me any good today with, you know, a foot and a half of water blocking all of the exits off the elevated I-10 because they were all being closed off by law enforcement. But nonetheless, yeah. So now if it's raining tomorrow morning, yeah, I'm either not going or I'm taking her car. That's all there is to it.
There you go. And one more net. We have the 20 meter net on 14268. Steve's there waiting for your QSOs, and 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. So hope to hear you on one of those. So maybe tune up the radio. No weather around here. We have a few fires going on outside of Canyon City, but it's all remote. Not too dangerous. Not not hurting anybody. So with that, who's going to wrap it up tonight?
I don't know. George, you want to wrestle for it?
You go ahead, Don. I think I did last time, probably.
Oh, yeah, you probably did, yeah. You know, I was thinking, talking about getting ham radio out in front of the public. That's a great idea that you had, Amanda. If you've got a radio on your belt, someone's going to come up and ask you a question. You can kind of be the concierge for the event that you're doing. Just go ahead and get all the information. Take it upon yourself to do that, and, you know, that's a great thing. But as far as, you know, you don't have to wait until field day to go out and operate in the field. There was a club that I belonged to in New Orleans that we would go out on the lakefront at Lake Pontchartrain on a beautiful day, and we would throw an antenna up in the air, a wire antenna, and just sit out there and make contacts a la field day. They're kind of like a field day practice in the middle of the summer or springtime, a really nice day or something, and you know, hang your banner up in the tree and people will, curiosity will bring them over and they'll want to know what you're doing out there. And also another way to get your radio stuff out into the public, especially if you're a club, is to get involved with the maker fairs, because the maker movement is just, that is just hand in glove with ham radio. Because it's all experimenters and they're youth, they're young people for the most part. So get involved with the maker fairs. That's a great way to do that. There's a club here in the New Orleans area, the Jefferson Amateur Radio Club. It has a big presence at the Maker Fair every year, the Mini Maker Fair in New Orleans. And it's a great idea to have a club presence there. And they have a really nice presence. They bring out portable antennas, and I think they even have a Foxhunt, I'm not sure, but they'll bring out like a tape measure antenna and have brand new gear and have a vintage gear display and information about the club and sign people up for classes. And it's a great way to get ham radio out in front of the public. So there's some ideas for you. Always try to think outside the box. Also, get in touch with your high school with maybe some of the ROTC programs. You might, the instructor might find a way to incorporate radio in with the ROTC studies and the robotics teams as well. There's also something that you might be able to dovetail ham radio in and get that in front of the public. So just a couple of ideas for you guys. Or George, Gordon, any other ideas?
Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, the Walmart parking lot on the air. That's another one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great ways to show off ham radio. Now, all you FT8ers, remember, east to west on the even and on the 30 of the second, 0 to 15, 30 to 45. Those on the west wanting to work east will call on 15 to 30 and 45 to 00. So east to west, 0 to 15. However, if you're working Europe, then, well, you get the idea. So it does become confusing. Just don't be the lone soul when everybody's listening that you're transmitting FT8. And have fun. But remember, there's a host of us down at the bottom of the band ready for your call, or at the top of the band ready for your call on voice or CW.
I made my first FT8 contact. I made my first FT8 contact in the 13 colonies this year. And also, I did my first 100% total clean sweep. I got all of them filled up, every slot. And I did most of those. I did all but three stations in 4 hours on July 4th.
We got a clean sweep, too. We went out camping, and we threw a G5RV up in the trees and worked them from the camper, and we got a clean sweep. Not the bonus stations, unfortunately, but it was fun.
I got all those, too. I got the bonus stations. I got everybody. I got the GB and the Z station, both on D-Star. That's allowed. And I got one of the other stations on FT8. All the rest were sideband. So, yeah, my first 100% total clean sweep. George, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I had one other idea for how to attract people to the hobby. And, you know, a lot of times I like to do things just sort of not out in the broad open, just slap you in the face, but just kind of subliminally hint at something. Why not get an amateur radio tag for your vehicle and just have it on there, and people will see amateur radio whenever you pass by or they pass you. And be sure you've got an antenna on that vehicle. If you don't have an antenna, I'm not sure if you should have a ham radio tag. Get the bulkiest looking antenna you can find, something that really sticks out, and you'll attract a lot of attention for the hobby.
Great.
Good idea.
Especially when you go through a McDonald's with your antenna still up.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to the replay because my Bluetooth crapped out as soon as you started talking, George. But here's a funny story real quick while we still have a minute. Years ago when I had a dual band antenna on one side of the trunk and I had a screwdriver antenna on the other side of the trunk, and I was driving a little Buick LeSabre, and I had my sunglasses on, and I went through the drive-thru at a hamburger place in New Orleans, to grab lunch. And it's so funny. The lady at the drive-thru, the young girl at the drive-thru, she looks at me, and she looks back at those antennas, and she looks back at me, and she looks at those antennas, and she looks at me, and she goes, this is an exact quote, exactly how she said it. Is you the police? It's New Orleans. Is you the police? I just looked at it and went, no. Smiled and drove off. Just left her hanging.
Well, you know, Jeff got pulled over one time in his white car for imitating a cop. That's interesting because he had his laptop mounted in there for all of his work stuff that he did, and he had antennas, and it was a white car, and it was, you know, an American car. So the cops pulled him over and said, we got reports that you were imitating a cop, and he was like, no. But that was funny.
That's hilarious. It's so funny. All right, guys, I guess that's about it. Everybody check into the After Show Nets when you can, and join us back again next week. And, of course, we'll see some of you at the Slidell Louisiana Ham Fest on the 20th. And also, in about a month, on the third weekend of the month for the Huntsville Ham Fest, we'll join you there. Bob and George and myself will be there, and Tommy, too. And we'll do the Young Ham of the Year Award at the Huntsville Ham Fest. Check them out, hamfest.org. Best Ham Fest around, man. I love the Huntsville Ham Fest. So do all that for us, and we'll meet you all right back here next week, next Wednesday night, and we'll do all this again with some more cool ham radio stuff for you. So for everybody, the rest of the unindicted co-conspirators, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. Good night. We appreciate you. And thanks to Leo and Twit, and we'll see you again next week here on Ham Nation. Good night, everybody.